For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Let's open in prayer tonight. It is good to come around the Word of God. It is quick and powerful. We praise you tonight, Father. We thank you. We thank you for your presence by your Spirit. Lord, I thank you for open hearts, open ears, open eyes. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would have his way in our hearts and lives as we hear of the Word. And we will not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the Word as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're looking at the foolishness of not believing God. And you would think that's an evident thing. But the fact is that all around us there are people not believing God, not doing what he says, not heeding him. Let's have a look at Psalm 39 verse 1. First of all, Psalm 39 verse 1. And in this particular verse, I just want you to know that we as the righteous are surrounded by a very wicked world. Very wicked world. There's all types of wickedness, all types of sin. If we were to list the sins, it would probably go into hundreds of thousands of different types. We're not here to do that tonight. I'm sure you, as you look through the scriptures, understand the difference between sin and righteousness. That's what it says in verse 1. I said, I will. What's that? Will. It's an act of your will, isn't it? I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. This is one of the major areas of sinning, is people sinning with their tongue. And particularly with the righteous, our words matter. Our beliefs matter. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what we have to understand is that as we believe something, and what is the spirit of faith? I believe and therefore do I speak. As we believe something, something is also going to come out of our mouth. So we must take heed to our ways. I will, as it says there, take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. So there is a connection between your believing, taking heed to your ways, and what comes out of your mouth, what your tongue speaks. And this is very, very important, because God says, gives the instruction, I will keep my mouth with a bridle. So that's the psalmist speaking there, that's you and me. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. So what are the wicked doing? What are they doing? Well, yes, they're sinning, but they're also looking. They're looking at you and me. And if we're a pack of conformists to the world, they're going to look and say there's nothing special about Christianity. There's nothing special about Christ. There's nothing special about the Bible if we're just conforming to the world. They're believing all types of beliefs, and guess what? All types of things are coming out of their mouth, aren't they? All types of things are coming out with their mouth. Have a look at one thing that comes out of people's mouth. It starts in their heart, though. Psalm 14, verse 1. Psalm 14, verse 1. And it says here, the fool hath said in his heart, it's the inner man, soul and spirit, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. This is the wicked before us. But you know, it's not just the atheists that say in their heart, there is no God. It's anyone that lives their life as though God doesn't exist is saying in their heart, there is no God. If you were to ask them, do you believe in God? Do you believe God exists? They might say, well, maybe. So they're not technically an atheist, but practically they are, in terms of the way they live their lives without God. So in our heart is formulated beliefs. And it says here, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So you say something in your heart first, and then it'll come out of your mouth. And all types of things in line with what you're believing in your heart will come out of your mouth. Now, you don't want to be like the fool, because what do we know? In the beginning, God created. So who was in the beginning? God. God's from eternity. He made time. So we know that there is a God, and that only a person who's a fool would say there is no God. And only a fool would operate in their life as though God doesn't exist or the Bible doesn't matter. Now, that's a big statement, but it is a correct statement. It is very correct. And we can see this if we go to John 3. These are very well-known verses in John 3. We'll look at verses 16 to 18. And you can see here it's all hinged around believing. You see, if I believe God, that means I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to use my mouth to confess what he says and to do what he says. So I'm going to use our actions to do what he says. Now, in John, we see that God has reached out to mankind. Mankind, of course, is dead in trespasses and sins if they don't have the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has reached out to mankind. Why? Because of his love. Because of his love. Okay, so we know God is love. That's what the scripture tells us. God is truth. Okay, God is light. All of these things show that God is absolute good and beautiful and wonderful. Now, even man, in his sinful state, God has reached out. And this is what God has done. Verses 16 and 17 and 18 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So do you think you'd be a wise person to believe in him? That's in the Son of God. You certainly would be. What happens if you don't believe in him? Would that be a wise position to take? Well, let's have a look at what verse 17 and 18 says. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So what did God provide? Salvation. The world through Christ might be saved. So God didn't have to come and condemn the world. The world was already condemned, dead in trespasses and sins, violating transgressing the law of God. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Well, that should be you and me. We believe on Christ. We're not condemned. We've been forgiven. We've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So where does believing start? What did we say before? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Okay? And there are many people that live practically as though there is no God, and this is the primary way that they live that way, is because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, believing is more than just an intellectual thing. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. It means that there's a trust of the Word of God, trust that the gospel is correct, and take hold of the fact that God has sent his only begotten Son to be the Saviour of the world. Now go to verse 39 of the same chapter. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So verse 39 makes it very clear that what you believe has consequences for your future. So here we see, if you believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. You've got everlasting life now. That everlasting life means living forever with God in his kingdom. That's quality, as Christ said, abundant life. So that's life of the greatest quality you could have. Now, everyone will live forever who has been born, who has been conceived. Everyone will live forever, but not everyone will be living forever with God in his kingdom or in heaven, because we see the next part of the verse. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In other words, the wrath of God is upon sinners right now and will stay on sinners that do not believe. It's a very foolish position to take. So the very first thing that people must do is respond in belief, which is not just a head knowledge, but a heart belief. If you look at Romans 10, 8 to 9, you can see that once again very clearly. And I want to make this very clear, because the foolishness of not believing God starts in the heart. Starts in the heart. "The fool hath said in his heart." It starts in the heart. And Romans 10, verses 8 to 10, makes it clear that if we are to be wise people, that also starts in the heart. So the wisdom of believing God starts in the heart. The foolishness of not believing God starts in the heart as well. So Romans 10, start from verse 8. And that's what it says here. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and where? In thy heart." In thy heart, okay. The word is a seed, remember that. Parable of the sower. And it's got to come into your heart somehow. It's got to come into your heart somehow. Think about that. It's got to come into your heart somehow. Okay. It will never come into your heart if your book, the Bible, is sitting on the mantelpiece and is never opened. I remember visiting someone and they said, "Oh yeah, I've got a Bible. It's a King James Bible." And they had to fossick through all these papers and books, and they finally got to this great big Bible at the back of, right at the back of the bookshelf. I thought, my word, this Bible has not been opened for quite a while. So you can see that it doesn't do you any good unless the word comes into your heart. So it's even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So remember what we said at the beginning, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here's the primary way where the word comes in, is through people believing the preaching of the word of God. It's the word of faith. It's got the quality of faith to it. Produces faith. Verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe," where? "In thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So there's the first wise act. Believe God. Believe Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God's raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see that the heart is absolutely crucial in the believing and confessing process. With the heart man believeth unto whatever you're believing. Okay, so when we are believing God, we can believe for things like blessing and healing and prosperity, and here we see righteousness and truth manifested and so on. So with the heart man believeth. Now, when in a person's heart they're saying there is no God, or all types of other wrong things come in. So how do wrong seeds come in? What does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, an enemy hath done this, about the sowing of the tares. It's the wrong seeds being sown. Because the enemy of God is sowing. He's out there doing lots of sowing. Why? Because that enemy understands it's in the heart that he's got to get people believing the wrong things. So they're not believing God, but they're believing something different. Can you see? And what's going to come out of that? Fruits of unrighteousness, fruits of people saying the wrong things, so sinning with their tongue, as we saw at the beginning. So with the heart man believeth. It's a very important concept to get hold of. With the heart man believeth unto. Obviously, if you've got a righteous heart, you've believed on Christ, you go forward, you continue to believe God. That's a wise thing to do. So the wisdom of believing God is obviously the complete opposite of the foolishness of not believing God. So let's have a look at John 8 verse 24. John 8 24. In John 8, 24, Jesus makes it very clear as to who he is. In fact, you go right through the book of John, you'll see the word believe is very prominent in the book of John. And he makes it very clear in John 8, 24, that he is the crucial person to be in a person's life if they are to be believing God and believing the right things. In fact, he is the manifested word, as we know. So we see in John 8 verse 24, this is what Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If people don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll die in their sins. Their sins will not be washed away. They will have the wrath of God upon them for eternity, because they have not believed on the only begotten Son of God. So Jesus makes it very clear, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. They won't have everlasting life. Have a look at Ephesians 1, 10 to 14. So we see that the person of Christ is absolutely essential to have in your life if you are to have the wisdom of believing God. But if you live your life as though Christ doesn't matter, as though God doesn't matter, as though the Bible doesn't matter, as though the church doesn't matter, if you live your life like that, that is foolishness. That is foolishness. You know, there are even some Christians, or people confessing to be Christians, who are doing things at variance with the Bible. Now, if God's word is truth, and Jesus said, ye do err not knowing the scriptures, then what happens to people? What happens? They're not believing the right thing, are they? And that is foolishness. and it brings the wrong things into their life. Jesus said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. So what do we have to know if we don't want to go into error? The scriptures, the Bible. How important is it, therefore, that the Bible or Bible preaching be prominent in our lives? Very, very important. So Ephesians 1, and we're looking at verses 10 to 14 in Ephesians 1. And in this part of Scripture we see some very interesting things. Starting from verse 10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So all things are going to be gathered together where? In Christ. So remember what I said before. Christ is the crucial person to have in your life. If you're going to be wise, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This tells us that everything is going to work out according to God's will. Doesn't matter what sinful man does, doesn't matter what devils do, doesn't matter what devices, political or otherwise, are in place in society. God's will indeed be done. And if Christians get on board with that and believe it, they're getting the right type of thinking about things. But you can start fretting about the wicked. You can say, well, they're doing all types of things and it's not going to lead to good and so on. But you have to see things in the way the Lord sees them. Jesus will return for a word-washed, glorious church without spot and wrinkle. So something has to happen before that time. Verse 12, that we, that's you and me, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So you believed on him. At that time you trusted in Christ. Okay? In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye what? Believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So we trusted after we had heard the word of truth. Can you see the progression? The progression is that the word comes to you, comes into your heart, and with the heart man believeth. If you believe the gospel, if you believe the truth, as it says there, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and it says then, in whom also after that you believe you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So God did something in your heart. He changed your heart and sealed your heart with that Holy Spirit of promise. Why is the Holy Spirit of promise? Because within the salvation, remember what we look at, the gospel of your salvation, within that salvation is a wonderful inheritance. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will speak to your heart and show you which way to go, what to believe, what to say. Okay? So the Spirit of truth, we know, will guide people into all truth. That's in the book of John as well. And we know that the Spirit of truth will never, ever cause people to be at variance with the word of truth. That's one of the reasons why you need one standard, one Bible, not many Bibles. Because, let's face it, if the modern versions are contradicting each other, and it's not hard to show that they are, then you've got to say to yourself, how can the Spirit of Truth lead me into that way when that one's saying that way and I might have to go that way? No, there has to be one way, one truth, one standard, and of course one Spirit. So the Word of Truth came in, you trusted in Christ, okay? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and He is there and He's showing you all types of things, and it's in your heart that He's doing a work. Praise the Lord, and continuing to do that work. Now those without God do not have that seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. And so they are very susceptible, and this is why you see those without God going into all types of error. They're very susceptible to what the Bible calls the devil, the spirit of this world, the prince of the power of the air. That spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the Bible talks about. He is at work because people have made a decision not to believe God, and because He's at work in their lives, they are taken astray. It's a very foolish position. Have a look at Hebrews 3:12-19. Now, once we become Christians, we don't say, well, now I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven and that's it, and I'll see you in the sweet by and by. No, it's not that at all. It's now you're a Christian, now you're on the path to believing the Word of God. And now God wants to use you to do things for His glory. In other words, to do the good works that God wants you to do whilst you're on the earth. Now there's reward attached to that, of course. So once again, it's a wise position to take. Imagine if you just lived for yourself all your life and you came before the Lord and God asked you, what did you do with the talents that I gave you, with the things that I gave you? And you could not answer Him. Well, if you're a Christian, you'd be in a very sad position. If you're a non-Christian, you'll, of course, be in a horrible position as well. But the fact is that it is such foolishness to live as though God does not exist, or as though God isn't looking, or something like that. Let's look at Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 19. We'll start from verse 12. Take heed, brethren. So he's talking to Christians. He's talking to you and me, brothers and sisters in Christ. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So what does he call a heart of unbelief? Evil. Evil. And that type of thing, unbelief, can come into even Christians. We see it all around us. All types of Christians saying very, very silly things. You know, speaking against prosperity, speaking against the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and all types of terribly stupid things. Why? Because of unbelief in their hearts about this. But we're instructed to take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, unbelief is sin. Doubting God is sin. We saw before, you can sin with your mouth, with your tongue. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I mean, you've got to continue in your believing the Word of God, believing that the Spirit of God is guiding you and leading you and bringing you into all truth and teaching you all things and bringing to remembrance the words of Christ. So you believe the Spirit of God is working in you and doing a work in your life. You believe that the Word of God is not just ink on a page, but as Jesus said, they're Spirit and they are life, the words of God. So verse 14 says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Steadfast. Okay. Verse 15, "For while it is said, today, if ye," what's that word? "Will hear his voice." Act of the will. I will hear his voice. "If ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Why not? "Because with the heart man believeth unto," whatever you're believing unto. If you harden your heart, you start to have the wrong things come in. Okay? The Word of God can't come in properly if you've got a hard heart. It's like rock. Verse 16, "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses." So there were some people that believed God. "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" How foolish was their position. They didn't enter into the promised land. "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Here's another major area of foolishness. People cannot enter into the blessings of God and even the fullness of God's salvation provided by Christ because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. So we are instructed not to harden our hearts. And he gives that example of the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they would not believe. They were sight-oriented. They saw the giants. They didn't believe God's word, which says go in and take over the land. They could have just said, "God said it, I believe it, therefore I have the ability to do it." He wouldn't have said to do it if I couldn't do it. "And I believe that he's backing me. The Lord is on my side." That's what the psalmist says. So we see here that it's very clear that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And where did unbelief start? In the heart. In the heart. In the heart. They were believing something else. They weren't believing God. And it caused them to adopt a foolish position. A foolish position. If you have a look at Psalm 27, verse 13, I've just got another couple of scriptures I want to get through. Psalm 27, verse 13. There's all types of philosophies in the world. One of the biggest philosophies, which is against faith, is "I will not believe it unless I see it." Now, Thomas the doubter was like that, wasn't he? "I will not believe he's raised from the dead unless I put my hands and touch hands in his side and his hands. Handprints." We know that he was very sight oriented. He would not believe the testimony that came to him. We can't be like that if we are to be faith people. Our firm foundation is the Word of God, the Word of truth. That should be enough. You've got one solid authority and foundation to come to us. Psalm 27, verse 13. Notice what it says here. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." This is the way we walk. We believe We believe God, we believe to see God's goodness, God's truth manifested, God's salvation manifested. We believe to see that goodness. It's not, oh, I won't believe unless I see. If you see it, no need for believing anymore. It's the same thing with anything. I won't, some people say, I will not believe I'm healed unless there's no pain in my body. No, no. You believe to see the pain go. You believe to see the restoration. Remember the last healing sermon we did was about recovery. You believe when the hands were laid on you that recovery came. And you believe to see from that time the manifestation of the healing. Praise the Lord. Lastly, let's look at Psalm 81, verses 13 to 16. Because God has for his people that believe all types of wonderful things. And it grieves him when his people don't believe him. It grieves him when people go into unbelief. And Psalm 81, verses 13 to 16, that's what it says here. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. You can see here that it's the longing of the Lord to do, the desire of the Lord to do good things for his people. But what does he want us to do? What does it say that we should do? Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Listened to God. Believed God. Not believe the giants are going to keep me away from it. The trouble is going to keep me away from it. No, no. God said, let not your heart be troubled. I give you my peace, Jesus said. Believe that. I have the peace of God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the direction that you show us. We thank you that we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and that you've sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise so that we might know that inheritance and that wonderful salvation that's been provided. Lord, I pray that every person here would have a growing understanding and an increase in knowledge of the Word of God. Let us not be limited or limit you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.